Today's shiur is dedicated for schus for fu shleima for shalom ben bracha. Today's shiur is mesecht in the dorim daf samach gimel. We will begin on daf samach beis amud beis at the mishnah in the middle of the amud. The mishnah continues to discuss where a person connected his nether to a specific time. If somebody says that he won't drink wine at a katzer until the time of cutting, says the Mishnah, what that mean is taken to mean, "Achiyaschal am liktzer ktzir chitim," for when people will begin to cut the wheat, "Avloy ktzir sa'irim," not barley. And says the Mishnah, when is that the halacha? Hako lefim mekam nidroi. The Mishnah means to say is that in most places, when people use the word katzir, they mean ktzir chitim. And that's why that's how we interpret his nether. But should it be the case, says the Ran, the Mishnah teaching us, that if the place where he made the nether, when people use the word kotzer, they refer to barley, then the halacha would be, you would have to wait on the cutting of barley. The Rosh says somewhat differently. The Rosh says, we have to look at what is the predominant tvuah that is grown in that place. If the predominant food that's grown in that place is soyrim, we wait for soyrim. If the predominant food that's grown in that place is chitin, we wait for chitin. Taisa says differently, that only the chitim are always considered more significant than soyrim, and that the fact that there may be less chitim than soyrim, says Tosfos, is immaterial. And if in that place where the nether was made, there is a ktsir chitin, even though ktsir sairim takes place much more, the halacha is we'd wait for the ktsir chitin. Only if there is no chitin in that place, that's when we wait for the sairim. Hakol fo makoim nidrei. Imhoye bahar. Similarly, when he made the nether, he was up in the mountain, even though afterwards he went down to the valley, or when he made the nether, then the nether is, the timing of the nether is connected to where he was when he made the nether. And since when he made the nether, he was on the mountain, we take the nether that way. And says the Mishnah, vice versa. If he was down in the valley when he made the nether, and then then the nether is dependent on when it's the Shas Bika. We follow the time. So the Ran explains that this case that the Mishnah just mentioned is an illustration of Hakol Lefi Nidroi. That included in Hakol Lefi Nidroi is Hakol Lefi Makom Nidroi, that it depends on not just how you express yourself to understand, but it also depends on where you are. All of these factors are taken into consideration in determining the term of your nether. Adik Shamim, if somebody made a nether, I'm not going to drink wine until the rainy season comes. Oh, he said, Achi Hege Shamim. So the halacha is Achitei Rishniya. As we learned extensively, and we reference that, in Masech the Tainus, There are three times in the season when rain falls, the Rir Rishayna, Shniya, and Shlishis. It has repercussions in Hilchas Tanesim, but we learned about fasting if it didn't rain. So when somebody uses the word Geshamim, we say it means the Revi Shni, the middle one. The first one is too early, and the last one is too late. That's how the Ran explains. The Rosh has a different explanation. He says that the reason it's called Geshamim is because Geshamim is a Lashon Rabim. So the Reviyah Shniya represents when there were already two Reviyahs, and that's why the word Geshamim is most appropriate. Another pshat is that the road, we only really recognize that it rained is when the roads are messy from the rain. And only when we get to the time of Reviyah Shniya, that's when we recognize that it rained. Shimon Gamliel Aimer, Ad Shigiyaz Man Shaviyah. He says that it doesn't necessarily have to be the Ran, as the Ran explains. Since there is no set time when rain must come. So when this person said the nether, he didn't probably mean when the rain is coming. What he meant rather to say is when the time for rain is about to come, when the Revi'i Shni is about to begin. And the Ran says, so why don't we say, the Ran asks, so why don't we say the same regarding Kotzer? And why do we say that by Kotzer, it means when they actually cut? Why don't we say that Kotzer means when they're expected to cut? Says the Ran, they used to identify a time by everybody, this is when we're going to cut. So since everybody knew that this season, this year, we're going to cut at this time, the cutting is very much connected to a specific time. However, rain, nobody can have any input in decision-making when it's going to rain. It's not up to us. So therefore, we rely on the time when it's expected, not on anything else. If somebody, when he made the nether, said, "Achi yifsugu shamim," till the rain would end, so that achi yitzunus and kula divra meir, according to Meir, the nether is valid only until all of Nissan is over. Rabbi Huda says, ad shiava Pesach, what he means to say is until Pesach is over. So the Mefarish here explains that the Machloikis of Ramei and Rabbi Huda is very much connected to their Machloikis that they have in Masechta Tainus, until when do we recite the Saint Talmud in Shemoneh Esrei. Ramei holds that we say the Saint Talmud until the end of Nisan, and therefore he says that the rainy season only ends at the end of Nisan. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says we only keep on saying it until Pesach is over. So therefore, in our Mishnah too, let's say it's Achi over a Pesach. The Lecha Mishnah asks a great question because he says the Rambam on one hand, in our Mishnah paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. And on the other hand, when it comes to Saint Talmud, it's not what we do. He said we say Saint Talmud until the end of Nisan. But the way we just explained, that these two machloikasin traveled together, so why is the Rambam not having them travel together? Says that the Chasam Sofer, the Rambam says that we keep on saying the Saint Talmud until after Nisan, because in certain years we need rain longer till at the end of Nisan. But by Nedarim, we follow what most people say. And most people need rain only till after Pesach. So we say until the rain passes, he must have meant until after Pesach. Tanya the Brisa says that if somebody said, "I'm not going to drink wine at a Kayetz," the Golol, if he was in the Golol when he expressed the nether, and the Golol is a place which is high up, the Yarod Lamokim, and then he went down to a place which is a valley. Afapi Shagia Kayetz Bamokim, even though where he currently is, it's already the Kayetz, it's not going to be satisfactory. Osach Yegia Kayetz Begol. That until we found the place where he was when he made the nether. And the Rishonim say that this halacha goes both ways. In our case that the Braisa gave us, it turns out to be a Chumrah. But sometimes it could be a Kula, where he made the nether in the Bika, and now he's up in the Golol. The point is, it doesn't make a difference if it's a Kula or a Chumrah. We look at where he currently is. We learned in the Mishnah, if somebody said Ad Gishamim, Ad Sheheg Gishamim, the Loch is Ad Sheteru Rishniya. If Shimon Gamliel Aymer, until the time of the Rishniya. Says the Gemara, in the Amr Rav Zera, the machlokes between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel is where he said Ad HaGeshamim. So the Chachamim's opinion is, since he said Ad HaGeshamim, he meant until it actually rains. But, says Rav Zera, that if, when he expressed his nether, he said Ad HaGeshem, then everybody would agree, Adag Man Kisham Kamer. We don't need that it should actually rain, but it means when the Chachamim will not disagree. And the Chachamim, in other words, what the Mishnah is saying, the Chachamim, what Rezer is saying, the Machlokes is when he said Adag Shamim, to teach us that the Chachamim hold until it actually rains. But if he said Adag Geshem, the Chachamim will agree that it's the time where it's supposed to rain. And the Ran explains them to Machlokes this way. If we have, what does the word agishamim, by adding the word gishamim, that's something to say that he needs something special. What does he need? That it should actually rain. Others explain that, as we said in the Mishnah, by using the word gishamim, that loshen ribui, it's obvious that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that you have to have revi'i shniyah when then you had much rain. Oh, it's dirty, the street, from the rain. Meisvei asked the Gemara on what Reb Zeira just taught us. The Mishnah, the Braisa teaches us, Eizes man shel revi'ah. When is the time for, as we mentioned earlier, the Gemara Masechta Tainus delves in quite in detail what are the times for the different, that there are three revi'ahs, and what are the times for those three revi'ahs. Habechira, the first one is Bishloisha, 3 days in Cheshvan. Beinonis, the second one is Shiva, 7 days in Cheshvan. Afela, the last one is Be'esrim V'shloisha, 23 days in Cheshvan. Divrei Rameya, that is the opinion of Rameya. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is B'shiva, the first one is 7 days in Cheshvan. B'shiva Asur, the 17th is the second Revi'ah. Be'esrim V'shloisha, the 23rd day of Cheshvan, is the third Revi'ah. Rabbi Yosef, the three dates are B'shiva Asur, 17, Esrim V'shloisha, 23, or Rosh Chodesh Kislev. The Kenhai Rabbi Yosi Omer, and so told Rabbi Yosi teach us that, as we mentioned, if there's a drought, it's not raining, so Klal Yisrael begins to fast. So the halacha is, the first group that begins to fast are the Yechidim. And the definition, as we learned in Masechta Tanis, means the Talmidei Chachamim, who are Miuchodim B'maseim, that excel in their actions and the way they behave. Masanim, they don't begin to fast Achigia Rosh Chodesh Kislev, because everybody agrees that we wait for the Revi'i Shlishis to come, and if Chas V'Sholem it doesn't rain by then, that's when the Yechidim begin to fast. And since he says that that's the time of the Revi'i Shlishis, that's when they begin to fast. And as I saw, the Sefer Tefiras First Scene explains that the lesson here is that even though we have here these great individuals, the Yechidim, who are fasting because it has not begun to rain, it's improper to begin fasting before you're supposed to begin fasting. So whatever is the Revi'i Shlishis, then and only then do we begin the fast. And the Gemara over there explains this braisa. Bishlam Revi'i Rishayna. We need to know the date of the Revi'i Rishayna, Lahashal, Lishol, because that's when we start saying the same Talmud in the Shemoneh Esrei. Shlishis, as we just said, we need to know when is the Revi'i Shlishis, because that's when Lesanos, that's when the Yechidim begin to fast. Ask the Gemara, Ella Shni Lamai, why is it important to know when is the Revi'i Shniya? Vam Rav Zeira, and Rav Zeira says to know for the Neider, that if somebody made a Neder out of Geshomim, that means until the Revi'i Shniya. Vamin Allah, and we said, in explaining this machloikus tanum about the different times of the revius, Kaman Ozla Hadatanya, whose opinion is this price of fallow? Rav Shimon Gamaliel Omer, Gesham Shiyad Shim Yom Zechazeh, if it rained 7 consecutive days, Atamoinim Behen, Revi'i Rishon Vishniya. That's considered like there were 2 revius, Kaman Krab Yosi. Because since Rav Yosi's opinion is that the first revi'i is on 17 days in Cheshvan, and the second Revi'ah is on 23 days in Cheshvan, so we have 7 days in between. So Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that to the Chachamim, that our Mishnah said that when you make this Neder, the Neder is valid at a Geshamim, it doesn't mean that it has to actually rain, as long, and it said in our Mishnah it doesn't have to rain. So he says that if it rained for 7 consecutive days, it's considered like 2 revi'ahs passed, and it's considered like the revi'ah shniya. So the Gemara's understanding that it is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel that he said this halacha even when the person who expressed his nether with the word adageshem. Why is the Gemara assuming so? Because the Gemara assuming is that typically, if a person is going to want to make a nether until it rains, the way he's going to articulate himself is by saying aragashim. But if we're going to go back to the beginning of our Gemara, where Abzairus said that aragashim means until the time of the Rishniya. And everybody agrees that if you said Reb Zeira, Arageshim, it doesn't have to mean that the rain came. Even the Chacham will agree as long as the time of the rain is here, your nether expired. Why, therefore, Reb Shimon Gamliel have to speak about a case where it rained for 7 days, and therefore it's considered like there were two revias? If he said, as far as Hilchas Nedarim are concerned, is you don't need it to rain at all. All you need is Arageshim. If you said Arageshim, the time for the rain came. Answers the Gemara, Hahudah Ma'agishamim. We're going to have to explain that indeed if somebody said Arageshim, then the Chachamim will agree it means until the time of the Rishniya. And we don't need any rain. When did Rav Shimon Gamliel say that it's considered like Gishamim, that you have fulfilled the condition of Aragashamim if it rains 7 days, is in a case where somebody said Aragashamim, not Hageshim. And in that case, when you said Aragashamim, the Chachamim are teaching us, as we learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara, that it has to actually rain. To which Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if it actually rained for 7 days, you have fulfilled the requirement of Aragashamim. So asks the Ran, Rav Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnah says that if somebody said Aragashamim, he holds, unlike the Chachamim, that all you need is that the time of the Revi Shni comes. And you don't need that it should actually rain. So why is Rav Shimon Gamliel teaching us the halacha, if it rains for 7 days, it's considered like you've fulfilled Aragashamim? According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, rain is never a factor. So the Ran gives the obvious answer, and the Ran's teretz is that Rav Shimon Gamliel's halacha that he just stated is according to the Chachamim. According to his opinion, this conversation is not really very relevant. He's trying to explain the opinion of the Chachamim. Another pshat that the Rosh suggests is Rav Shimon Gamliel is indeed not speaking about Hilchos Nedarim. The Rosh suggests this pshat. Because according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, by rain, by Gishamim, as far as Hilchos Nedarim is concerned, we always look at when it's expected to rain, nothing else. But there are other halachas that the Rishniya makes. The halacha is that once the Rishniya comes, there are certain places where you may or may not walk, and that's Yisrael. And that's why Rav Shimon Gamliel says that once it rains for 7 consecutive days, it's like the Rishniya passed. Dar Sameach, this says that Rav Shimon Gamliel actually agrees somewhat, a whole new pshat in the Mishnah, agrees somewhat with the Chachamim and somewhat would not. He says, Rav Shimon Gamliel that says it doesn't have to actually rain, says that's if the Revi Shlishis, if the time of the Revi Shlishis passes. If the time of the Revi Shlishis passes, then Rav Shimon Gamliel says it doesn't make a difference if it rained or not. But if two Revi's passed, then the Rishniya is already the end of the nether. And now Rav Shimon Gamliel adds in our Gemara that 7 days of rain is considered like the Revi'a Shniya passed. Another pshat that the Mefarshim tried to explain, that sometimes Rav Shimon Gamliel is going to agree that his wording is very obvious, this Gevurah Sari, the Gevurah Sari says this teretz, that what this means is that the Shagzarye, what he means to say here is that if, let's say, the way the nether was expressed, at sheyerdu gishamim, there's no way to debate that by him using the words at sheyerdu gishamim, he means until the rain actually comes. There's no room for machloikas between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim in that case. Says Rav Shimon Gamliel, that even though in such a situation where the words Achier de Gishamim are said you need actual rain, tells us Rav Shimon Gamliel that if it rained for 7 consecutive days, you have fulfilled the requirement of Achier de Gishamim. Says the Mishnah, If somebody made a nether that he's not going to drink wine for a year, the Sabra Shana, and then they made the year into leap year, then the halach is Osaba Ubi Bura. Then the halach is that he can't drink wine not only till the regular year is up, but he has to wait till the leap year is up. That means, as the Ran explains, and the Ran is considered consistent with his opinion that we've learned from the beginning of Perek, that when somebody said this nether, we don't take it to mean that he meant that the nether should be in effect for 12 months, as is usually the case, but he's going to be usher for 13 months. But, says the Ran, if somebody's standing in the middle of the year and he said Hashanah, there is no chiddush, going back to the beginning of the parak. If somebody is standing in the middle of the year, in any case, and he says Hashanah, so he means until the end of the year, until Rosh Hashanah comes. And sometimes it can mean 13 months, depending when you started the nether. And as the chiddush is, that Elul is not considered not part of the year, the halach is that he has to wait until Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, until Rosh Hashanah. What's going to be the halacha, quotes the Ran, in the name of the Rajba, that if somebody makes a nether where he says, Koinim Yainim Shani Toyim Shana Achas, then the halacha is that it's only 12 months. Why? So the Rajba explains very nicely. He says, but if somebody says Shana Achas, he hasn't identified which year. So he could fulfill his nether in any year that he so chooses. And the year that he'll choose to keep his nether will be, as most years are, a 12-month year. So since he isn't obligated to keep the nether this year, which indeed this year is a 13-month year, but he didn't have to keep it this year because all he said was Shana Achas, then 12 months would be enough. Many Rishonim disagree. And many Rishonim are of the opinion that even when he said Shana Achas, the halacha is that he has to wait, that and this is the year that he chooses to keep the nether, and this year ends up being a leap year, he's going to have to keep 13 months. If somebody said Ad Rosh Adar, he said that he's keeping a nether until Rosh Chodesh Adar, so the halacha is Ad Rosh Chodesh Ad Rosh Adar Rishon. The nether is in effect until Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. If he said Ad Soif Adar, if when he expressed the nether he said until the end of Adar, then he means Ad Soif Adar Rishon. It is the opinion of our Tana, as we're going to see right away in the Gemara, that when a person uses the word Adar, he means Adar Rishon, even in a year of with a two Adars. Alma, and immediately makes the Gemara that statement, that comment. Stam the Adar Kamar, when a person uses the word Adar, what does he mean? Rishon Hu. He means Adar Rishon. Ask the Gemara, Lema Masnisen. So we should seem to indicate that our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, he represents the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, we have a Machloikus remaining Rabbi Yehuda regarding somebody who wants to write a document. And of course we know a critical part of any document is the date. So says the Brisa, Adar Rishon, if the document is being written Adar Rishon, Kosev Adar Rishon. Adar Sheni, if the document is being written in Adar Sheni, Kosev Adar Stam. Then you write Adar Stam because Divrei Ramei, because in Ramei's opinion, the primary Adar is Adar Sheni. And there, Tosfos gives a number of reasons why Ramei holds that way. Number one, whenever there's only one Adar, that Adar is a 29-day month. In a year when we have two Adars, it is the second Adar that has 29 days. And Adar Rishon has 30 days. Furthermore, we know that Purim takes place. When we think about Adar, we think about Purim. And Purim, of course, takes place in Adar Sheni. That's what Ramei's opinion is, that the primary Adar is Adar Sheni. That's Ramei's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Adar Rishon, that the primary Adar is Adar Rishon, and therefore if you're writing a document in Adar Rishon, Kosev Stam, that you don't have to write that it was Adar Rishon. And if you're writing the document Adar Sheni, if you're writing the document in Adar Sheni, that's when you write Tinyon, and that's when you write it's Adar Sheni. So the Ramah says that if somebody was born in a year where there was only one Adar, and after and his bar mitzvah year there were two Adars, his bar mitzvah is an Adar Sheni. Says, so the Mishnah Brewer explains that since he was, the Ramah is teaching us that even though we're learning that according to many opinions, Adar Rishon is the primary Adar, still, for Hilchas Bar Mitzvah, we wait for Adar Sheni. Omar Bayfield, so it seems that our Mishnah, that when it says that you use the word Adar, we say you're meaning Adar Rishon, is following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, to which Abaye says, I feel Tamer Rameya. We could say that our Mishnah is even following the opinion of Rameya. Ha, the Yod of the Mabrishata. When did Rameya say that which is the primary Adar Sheni? In a case where a person knows there's going to be two Adars this year, so he views, for the reasons that we gave, as Adar Sheni, as the primary Adar. But Rameya is going to say, ha, our Mishnah is referring to a situation, the Lo Yoda. It wasn't like in our times. In our times, the calendar is fixed for years in advance. In those times, as we learned in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, the calendar was identified with the Adim or with Besdin deciding that we need to make this year into a leap year. So if when the person made the Neder, he didn't know there were going to be two Adars. So when he thinks about Adar, he obviously thinks about the Adar that comes after Shvat, Adar Rishon. And therefore, even if at the end there were two Adars, Ramey says, I will agree that he must have meant Adar Rishon when he said the Neder. Says the Gemara of Tanya, and the Gemara brings a brisa that differentiates in whether you did know or didn't know there's going to be Adar Sheni. Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar, if somebody made a Neder until Rosh Chodesh Adar, the Halacha is Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. Then it's Ad Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. Mechlal. So obviously, when the Brisa says Em Hoyse Shonim Beberes, the Reisha, the beginning of the Reisha is Labamaras Eskinen. It's the whole Brisa speaking about a case when we have two elders. Shma Mina, Ha De Pshit Le Demar Bishata. When you knew that there's going to be two Adars, when you use the word Adar, you mean Adar Sheni? Ha De Lo Yada. In a case where you didn't know there are going to be two Adars, then when you say Adar, you mean Adar Rishon. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kainim Yain Sheni Toyim. If somebody expresses a neder by saying, I'm not going to drink wine, Achiye HaPesach. So it seems, at first glance, that this shouldn't be a question, that he certainly means until Pesach is over. The halach is that we view his neder to mean Loineskaven Adel Pesach. He must have meant only till the night of Pesach. Why? Because we interpret that what he must say, this is the way the Ran learns the Mishnah, we're going to be learning with this approach. Since we all know that people need to drink four cups of wine by the Seder, so it's difficult for the Mishnah to accept that this person said a neder which will prohibit him from drinking the Dal Kaisers of wine. And therefore we interpret that what he means to say is that he won't drink wine until Pesach evening, but once Pesach evening comes and he has to drink the Dal Kaisers, of course, that's not included in the time that he's not allowed to drink. The Shita has a different approach, and therefore he says that on the contrary, why would a person make such a neder? So the Shita explains what a person making a neder is saying, that even though everybody is drinking wine, I'm making a neder that I'm not going to drink wine. And therefore, we interpret that what he means to say is that the neder, that he shouldn't be able to drink wine in the night of the Seder. Again, that's the approach of the Shita throughout this Mishnah. But as I said, we're going to learn as usual with the opinion of the Ran. Similarly, it says, I'm not eating meat until the fast. When the Mishnah usually uses the word tzayim, it means Yom Kippur. So again, we interpret, says the Ran, his neder to mean that he will not eat meat until the night before Yom Kippur. But on the night of Yom Kippur, he will already eat wine. Because certainly, this is the time where people eat meat, and therefore he certainly didn't mean to say that he's not allowed to drink, that he's not allowed to meet. And the Ran points out, what we say to mean is that he is allowed to eat meat on Erev Yom Kippur, as we just explained, because that's the time when people normally eat meat. But it would not be allowed to eat meat the night before. Because even though, as we know, there's a mitzvah to eat before Yom Kippur, the mitzvah is on Erev Yom Kippur proper, not by day, not the night before. Rabbi Yosef Omer, somebody says, "Kainim shum shani time at Shtei Shabbos." If somebody says, "I'm not going to eat garlic until Shabbos," and also alel Shabbosus, shaloi neskam ze al ashadorach bnei adam lechol b'shum. As we've learned earlier, there's halacha that Ezra instituted in Klal Yisrael, a minig that Ezra instituted in Klal Yisrael, that people should eat garlic Friday night. The reason people should eat garlic Friday night is because that's the time where everybody's supposed to have relations with their wife. And eating garlic increases the semen, increases the fertility. So certainly, even though at first glance, again with the Ran's explanation of our Mishnah, we might not have interpreted his nether to mean that by Friday night, Shabbos, he should be allowed to eat garlic. But since we're certain that that's what he wants to do, that he wants to be able to eat garlic Friday night so he can keep this mini, that's how we interpret his nether. Continues the Mishnah. I'm l'chaveroi, kaidim shani nelach. I'm making a nether that you can't have. I can't have any benefit from you. We can't have benefit from each other, as the Ran explains. Im ain at the bar v'noitel v'necha. If you don't come and receive from me kor echad shel chitim, a certain decent amount of wheat, v'shtei chavis shel yayin, and 2 barrels of wine. I insist that you come and take this from me. I raise a yochel as nedre shel pichachem. Then they don't want to fulfill the nether. We don't even need to go to Rav to be matan nether. Rather, v'yoymeloi, the person who's supposed to receive these items could say, kloma marta, the entire reason you made this nether is elam kfaidi. You wanted to show me this honor. You wanted to show me honor that you're giving me this great respect. So here, by me, the honor is that I shouldn't, by me the honor is that I shouldn't have to take from you. Zek Foydi, the covet that you, the greatest covet that you could give me is not making me take from you. And this is also very relevant to a question that comes up. To fulfill the mitzvah shalchmanis, I send shalchmanis to someone. And the question is, the person who I send the shalchmanis says, it's my honor that I shouldn't take the shalchmanis. Is it considered, and he sends back the shalchmanis, is it considered as if I fulfilled the mitzvah shalchmanis or not? So it's really dependent, as we've discussed in previous shiurim, what is the reason for shalchmanis? If the reason for shalchmanis is because Chazal wanted that we should share with each other, and even though we, Baruch Hashem, may have enough to eat, but we should make sure that everybody has enough to eat. And the way we can make sure that everybody has enough to eat is by sharing our food with them. So sending food to someone, and even if it's a person who doesn't need our food, but sending food to somebody and that person saying it's considered kilus kabalti, as if I received your food already, is going to be inadequate because we haven't accomplished what the mitzvah of shalach manas is here to accomplish. However, if the reason for shalach manas is to increase ahava v'achva v'shalom bereis, is to increase camaraderie amongst people in Klal Yisrael, so by me sending shalach manas, even and you knowing that I sent you shalach manas, and then you say, "I take it back, I don't need it, it's kilus kabalti," but the good feeling that is engendered by me sending you shalach manas has already been accomplished, and therefore I would have fulfilled the mitzvah of shalach manas. And the Ran explains, how do we understand this person's statement? Kloma mat of nek foidi. You were so insistent that I should, that you want to show me honor by giving me shalach manas. The biggest honor that I think it's even bigger honor that I refuse to take. Why? So as the Rosh explains, that there's a concept of soinim etanis yichya, that a person who doesn't take gifts is better off. And therefore, his saying that I don't want to take And that's my honor. You've shown me greater honor. Continues the Mishnah. You can't
have any benefit from, we can't have benefit from each other.
Here it's just the opposite. He insists that you have to give. So Meir says, until the actual nether was fulfilled, the halacha is that the nether is in place.
We can be mad to the nether.
And here we have a fundamental machloikis rishonim. How to view this case? The Yerushalmi actually says that Reb Meir is arguing both in this case and in the previous case. And Reb Meir is not subscribing to the concept of Kilus Kabalti. He says if the nether was made, we have to take the nether literally. And if the nether says you have to give, you have to give. And if you didn't give, you didn't fulfill it. But Tosfos says that the machloikis of Reb Meir and the Tanakhama is only in this case. In this case, that somebody demanded something, it doesn't make sense that first I demanded something and then I should walk away from that demand. In the previous case, I wanted to give you something. So since I wanted to give you something, so you could say it's as if I received it. But when I demanded something, says Reb Meir, and then I should completely turn the table and not only say I'm relinquishing on my demand, but I'm also saying that it's as if I got it, that's too much to expect. Hi, Masara boy, lost his base. Somebody wants to marry his niece. I can't have any benefit. He could have Hannah. He wanted very much to get married to her and show that he made this nether. And therefore, it's not considered absolutely a nether. Why is it speak about a niece? Because the Ran explains that the Gemara Masechta Yevam teaches us Hanoisis Basa Chaisai, if somebody marries his niece, Malak of a Kosov, it's considered as Tikra Sheva Ena, that whatever he davens for, he will get. Tosfos Ret says that the case of our Mishnah, even though it's speaking about Basa Chaisai, is not limited to Basa Chaisai. It's just an example of the Mishnah gives. The Tveres Yisrael disagrees that maybe since, as we just learned, says the Tveres Yisrael, since there's such a mitzvah to marry a niece, so therefore that obviously, by making this nether, it shows that he doesn't want to have anything to do with her. Teaches us the Mishnah that that's not the way to interpret the Mishnah, even by a sister. Why is it by a niece that's Bas Achoisai more than a niece that's Bas Achav? So Rashi explains that people have a closer relationship with a sister than with a brother. Therefore, there's a closer relationship with a niece from a sister. Rabbeinu Tam says that it's that a niece from your sister is the same mazel as your mazel. But the Rashbam disagrees, and he says, Enechanami, Bas Achiv and Bas Achoisai and Bas Achiv are the same. The Rivon disagrees. He says, by marrying a Bas Achoisai, you won't create a situation where the mitzvah of Yibum won't be able to be fulfilled. The Bas Achiv, by Bas Achoisav, it won't happen. By Bas Achiv, it could happen. So, Noida Behuda uses this Gemara. We know that the Noida Behuda was not so satisfied with Sabas Rav Yehuda Chassid. And one of the rayas that he was dissatisfied was that the Tzvas Rav Yehuda Chassid says that one should not marry Bas Achoisav. And based on what we just learned, that there's a special point and marrying a Bas Achoisai, maybe even more than Bas Achoisam. And because of this, the Noida Behuda says the way we have to look at the various minhagim that are brought down in the Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, because we now have a very strong question. How could Rabbi Yehuda Chassid instruct us to do something which is directly against what it says here? In the Gemara, in Masechta Yevamos, it's here. So says the Noda Behuda, must be that of course one can and perhaps even should marry a Bas Achoisai. Rather, the way to understand
the Tzavas Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, is Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid saw that for his descendants, this type of a shidduch will not work out. But that doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. And somebody wants very much that somebody should come eat by him. And I'm making a neder that I won't walk into your house. I'm not going to drink a drop of cold water. It's not that, we don't have to take it that literally. He could walk in, he could drink a little cold water. All he meant to say was that he doesn't want to sit down for a full meal. And what we learn from here is, as we've learned so many times in our Masechtas, that Nedarim have to be understood with Lashem and Adam. Nedarim have to be understood in the context in which they were said. And where it's clear that the Neder was made in a context not to be taken literally, but it's to be taken in the context that he just doesn't want to go to a meal, he just doesn't want to marry this woman. That's the way we should understand the neder.